Spirit Radio Podcasts.
And on the line, we have recently returned from the west of Ireland, Trace Davey. How are you doing there, Trace?
Completely gobsmacked, Ronan. Because I said, that is so 80s.
Isn't it?
And I said, I can see you, but I can't hear.
Yeah.
And I wrote Cry Before Dawn on a bit of paper in front of me.
There you go.
I was going to Google it immediately after I hang up with you.
Yes.
It is so 80s.
It is. It absolutely is. Cry Before Dawn, I'm telling you. They were a great band, and I loved them, and they wrote some lovely, lovely songs. And in the mixture of that guy's vocal, and then the Chanuk slightly acoustic-y vibe. So there you go. Bringing me back.
Unbelievable coincidence, we thought the same thing.
There you go. So listen, Trace, how was the Christmas for you? Was it good?
Hard work, very busy.
Yes.
Failed the NCT because of course kicked my indicator at the Hunt and St. Stephen's Day.
No.
But that's, I mean, you know, other people fail their NCTs because other things happen to them, but it had to be a horse kick in my car that made me fail my NCT.
Oh dear. Listen, we made your cranberry sauce. That was great. Really worked very well at home. I say Mrs. J actually knocked that up in jig time. It was brilliant. Very nice. Lovely. Loved it.
And we talked before Christmas about making homemade gifts and what did I call it, white Christmas, white elephant gifting.
Yes.
People telephoned and said, thanks for the bit of homemade pâté, it was lovely, it was so different.
Or yeah.
Thanks for the chutney. It's just amazing how people enjoy homemade presents.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, but particularly somebody like yourself who can make very, very excellent food, whether it's a chutney, as you say, or whether it's a homemade pâté or something like that, that is something really, really to be enjoyed. So listen, it is a kind of a clean-up time, isn't it? You know, people are thinking in terms of, I know it's the last day of Christmas, the 12th day and all that, and people thinking in terms of, you know, packing things up and doing all that kind of thing. What is our job of the week?
Job of the week is buy your non-perishables for next year. Paper, Christmas paper, it's half price. Cards, crackers if you still decide to use them, because some people think they're very non-eco-friendly. Gift sets and candles and things you can keep for next year.
Sure.
I always buy the gift sets for the nephews. I attach the check to them, but yeah. I buy them at half price now. You get them
in
pharmacies.
Like if you have somewhere to store those kind of, you know, the deodorants and stuff that are in boxes, I mean, they don't change really from year to year. So it's like, it's a brilliant idea.
Half the price and candle set sometimes as well. But if you're gifting and you're re-gifting, please put a post-it note on the gift. I'm like a broken record on this one every year. Put a post-it note on who gave you the gift. Because I remember receiving a present back from someone I gave to them a couple of years before, and not even last year, a couple of years before, and they gave it back to us. It was a Christmas plate. So please put your post-it note.
How embarrassing.
I know. And I carried it all the way from America and everything. Oh, no. One for her and one for him. But never mind. I gave it on words again. Store all those vouchers you got over Christmas in the same drawer and tell everyone where they are so you don't forget them.
I have a question, Trace. Did you tell them?
What?
Did you tell the people who'd re-gifted to you that I gave that
no,
to you?
No, I love her too much. I would never tell her. No way.
You're very good. You're very good.
She makes a lemon icicle for me every year since, which is, I love lemon things, so she makes a homemade dessert for me and beautiful. That, and I could never say anything to her.
Brilliant. Well done.
Store all those, keep those vouchers, Ronan, because they're just, don't lose them.
Okay. Good. And fill out your calendar with all your insurance renewal dates, and that is a really classic one, actually, because they're the things that you miss out on, isn't it?
Absolutely. And more importantly, a week before the insurance renewal date, put in a prompt to say, start looking for a new quote, or buy the birthday card, as well as the birthday date, put a prompt in to buy the card or the anniversary card in time as well. Fill out that calendar.
And can I just add one little thing there? Increasingly, those of us who operate in that kind of apps on our phones and stuff like that, an awful lot of things, like, for instance, I don't know whether you notice now, but things like Microsoft Office and stuff like that, they have renewals every year, and they have, it's a bit of an old cod altogether, but really, once upon a time, you used to be able to get like a CD or a DVD with all the deal. You paid a certain amount for it, and that was you. Now what they're doing is they're effectively renting you these apps, so you get access to the app. I have a rugby app that I use all the time because I'm love rugby and all the rest, but the renewal date can come and go, and you might be going, hold on a second, I don't know whether I wanted it for another year. Well, I have it for another year now. Netflix, all that kind of stuff, so it's handy to have those in as well.
Okay, that's interesting.
There you go. So New Year's resolutions, Trace.
Absolutely. Got this on a CNN website about New Year's resolutions. Really interesting and really practical. Be specific. So, put in timings. I will at this time or in at this location. If you want to eat better, I will have a piece of fruit or veg at my lunch every day. I will only have one takeaway once a week or a dessert once a week. So be specific, put in a timing, put in a location or a behavior, and affirm yourself with that thought and in mind. Make it possible. Don't commit to running a marathon if you hate running.
That's just so such common sense, Trace. It's very good.
Make it enjoyable. Do something that you can achieve and it's enjoyable. Set yourself up for success. Are you trying to reduce your phone time and picking up the phone? Well, how about as a start, get it out of your bedroom and buy an alarm clock?
Yeah, do you know what? It's funny. It's one of these things that we do, when, you know, the way I'm doing with an awful lot of adolescents. And it's like you can get a kind of a really small little box alarm clock for about €8 in any of the kind of like the Tesco's or Dunn's or Super Value. And it's about €8, you know, and it's small. It's about, you know, kind of 5 centimetres squared or cubed. And you just say, there, take that. I need my phone for my alarm. There's an alarm clock.
Absolutely. And you can get the cool ones, project on the ceiling and all kinds of things, flat ones with mini batteries. There's no excuse, and it's an excuse to get the phone out of your bedroom.
Right.
If you want to limit sweets, don't buy them. Get rid of them all in
get
the house.
Get them out of the house. So right, Trey, so right. I love that idea about setting yourself up for success, because if you kind of, you know, like, as you say, if you've got like a you know, 3 bags of Mars bars in the back, I mean, down the back of the fridge, guess what's going to happen next time you're hungry and you don't have any food in? You're just going to go straight there.
They're handy. And I like this one about practice saying no, thank you. So that if you're going to your aunt's or you're going visiting somewhere and they're forcing cakes and biscuits onto you, no thank you just rolls out there easy peasy.
Absolutely. Very good.
And if you slip, fine, don't worry about it. You can try again. You can always try again. There's a nice one. Show, don't tell your children.
Oh, right, good. So this is about people. Your kids won't always listen to you, but they really do pick up on what you do.
Absolutely. And you can start the conversation by saying, look, I'm going to do this resolution. It's week in. I haven't been good this first week, but I'm going to do it here. Here's my goal. And perfection is not a goal. It's not going to be perfect. I'm going to fall down like everyone else. But here I'm going to try it. I'm telling you about it. You might want to help me out with it, kids. Do you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it gives you a bit of authority as well, too, doesn't it?
An example, yeah. Exactly. It's more than just example, and it's more than just engaging them in the activity. It also, as you say, gives you the lead authority there in doing something that's good and positive.
You also think it would be a good idea for us to change it up.
I love this one. I'd never heard this before. Don't just make a resolution, this is my 2020 resolution for the whole year. Make it a year of different changes. Maybe 1 month without alcohol.
Good.
1 month of cooking a healthy dinner every day. 1 month of no biscuits in the coffee break. Or I will read all those books in January. I will take the stairs at work all the time for the month of March.
Mm.
I promise to drink a litre of water for the first month of the year and see how it gets on. But the one that I really think is important, and I think maybe we'll talk about it over the course of the year, is start being less wasteful. There's loads of things you can do about being, you know, don't buy any new clothes in February or March, say, because I don't need them.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't need them, and I'm trying to be more ecologically aware and save money and all those things, and maybe I'm just not going to buy something for the month of February and March, or I'm going to use up all the food this week, every last ounce of it that's in the cupboard or in the freezer or something. Something like that. Just maybe a little less wasteful as a month and try and see how you can do it all over the place. And another thing, join a class for a term, do you know?
Yeah, you don't have to do it for the whole year.
Or something for six months. Yeah, and take small steps and small wins and be proud of your small wins. And you are going to fall off, but get back on that horse. You can do it. And if you're in doubt, just look up and ask the good Lord for help.
I love it. Thank you, Trace. Great talking to you. God bless you and a Happy New Year to you. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. Well, it's the start of the new year, and with schools back today, meaning the traffic is back. And my goodness, it took me about 20 minutes to travel a piece of road that I could have probably have walked in 3 minutes this morning. My goodness, it was very, very painstaking. Anyway, it's time to get back into our usual weekly routine. And there are two ways of looking at a new year. We can embrace it, and we can look forward, and we can give hope, or we can start it apprehensively, putting pressure on it, and worrying ourselves, and fretting, and all that kind of stuff. But when we say, when we have the choice, surely it's better to adopt a positive attitude. As the saying goes, the best is yet to come, and perhaps 2020 could be your best year yet. On the line now to talk to us about making the most out of starting a new year, we have life coach Mark Fanlon. You're very welcome back to the show, Mark. How are you, man?
Thanks, Roland. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Well, first of all, Mark, there are people out there who seem to naturally have good emotional health. They're yeah. able to handle life's challenges. They're, you know, they're resilient. You know, they recover from setbacks. But it's not necessarily that easy for everybody, is it?
No, it's not. And it's not always a naturally inherited thing. It's sometimes something we work on over life, whether consciously or unconsciously, but it really, as a lot of it comes down to sometimes what we're surrounded with, what we're listening to, different things like that. The first thing, though, I would say to everybody, because, you know, you hear a lot of the new year, new you, and I know that works for a lot of people. I'm not a big fan of it myself, because sure. I'm like, what was wrong with the old me?
Yes, exactly.
So I'm more about, you know, new year, but like, look at what happened last year and say, well, you know, what would I like to see going different this year? But one of the biggest enemies of happiness or even just being positive is comparison. And it's when we compare ourselves to others, and the worst thing to do is go on social media, particularly Instagram, you know, and see all these lovely images and everyone's life seems to be doing amazing and here yeah. we are and we're like, why isn't my life like this? Because the day we start comparing ourselves, you know, is the day that we can affect, it is the enemy of happiness, as I quite often say. But when we look at our own selves, and you know, it sounds like a simple thing, but when we look at our own lives, without looking at other people's lives, and we find the things that we can be grateful for, that's when we, I suppose, shift their attitudes, not to being an airy-fairy, oh, you know, the glass half full, everything is awesome kind of thing, even when it's not. But when we find what we can be grateful for, and we get into a habit of noticing the little wins in life, that will have an attitude change in our lives, and overall will affect our, shall I say, happiness level, if it is something we can even gauge. But it definitely comes down to finding what we have that is a blessing in our life, rather than looking at what we don't have in life.
So, in a way, if you want to combat that kind of compare and despair kind of yeah. cycle, you have to, in some way, build something in. And I think what I'm hearing you say is the idea that if there's a kind of a if we practice a kind of a gratefulness, a gratitude, a kind of a look, what is it that I have that's working, and what is it that I have, and that sometimes takes a bit of work, doesn't it, Mark?
It does, because I think there's a lot of pressure today to be, you know, top of the class, top of the boardroom, you know, promotions, careers, very focused on, and we're becoming a very driven society on, you know, moving forward and moving up. But sometimes it's good to take stock of where I'm at right now and look at it and say, well, you know what? I'm not perfect, because nobody is. I've got my strengths. I've got my good points. Focus on them. What would I like to change that I'm like, you know, that's not serving me well? You know, if you look at your last year and say, you know what? I'd like this to be a little bit different. And approach the canvas that's already there, rather than trying to reinvent the wheel. Sometimes you'll see people hit around this time of year and go, right, I'm going to join the gym, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they rewrite their whole life, pretty much. And it's quite sometimes impossible to keep up. But if you look at the things in life that you're happy with, and make note of those things to yourself, but then look at the things that you'd like to change, and just start on, pick one thing in your life that you might want to change, and start on that. Because what we do is, we can sometimes get to this time of year, plan to make loads of changes, overwhelm ourselves. A few weeks later, we end up, we're back to square one.
Of course we are, yeah.
It's all about, you know, one step at a time. Even Everest is conquered one step at a time. And that's how you do it. It's sometimes when we try and change everything, compare ourselves to everyone else, it can be overwhelming, discouraging, and we end up going nowhere.
So can I just ask you, Mark, you know, one of the things we talked about earlier on is that idea of being kind of slightly fretful and seeing things in a particularly negative light. Do you have any tips for turning negatives into positives?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. And sometimes people will gravitate to it a lot easier than others. You know, it's just one of those things. Some people are just a happier level than other people. But there are things that we can all apply to our lives wherever we fall on the should we say, the happiness meter, so to speak. And it's not about being like, every day you wake up, oh, today's a new day, I'm so grateful to be alive, you know, because that's not realistic.
Sure, yeah, it's not truthful. Yeah, I know what you mean.
You're going to wake up today, like you mentioned, you've a walk, you know, you've got a distance to travel, but you could have walked quicker. It's lashing rain, you're tired, it's after the holidays, you know, we've all eaten too much and, you know, slept too much. And so the thing is, though, the reality is this, it all comes down to attitude. And I know that sounds simple and it is kind of easier said than done, but our attitude really does define our altitude in life. Because when we decide or even make a decision, it's not that we've changed anything about ourselves, but when we change our attitude towards things, when we start to train ourselves that, look, when something bad happens, don't always focus on the negative that happened. Try and change the record. Here's what I want to say, because a lot of us, we don't understand, but every day we're actually meditating, right? Our brains are thinking, we're meditating and ruminating and thinking about either the positive things that have happened or the negative things that have happened. Now, the path of least resistance and the thing we think about most is generally will default to the negative.
That's right.
It's kind of like you could get like 99 lovely comments, but you'll zone in on the one that wasn't.
Of course you will. Of course you will, exactly. It's interesting. I'm hearing you say it, and you know, there's a particular theorist called William Glasser, and he describes worry and anxiety as an abuse of the imagination, which I think is a quite an interesting way of putting it. Because if you, I love the idea that you've put there, the idea that actually people are actually meditating. That's what they're doing. And what are you meditating on is the question.
Exactly. We don't always realize that we are, but our brain is constantly thinking about stuff that either is going to pick us up or pull us down. And it's not that we want to be always thinking about everything as positive. Like, one thing I'm not a fan of, when you meet someone who's going through a lot of stuff and you go, you ask them, how are you doing? Oh, everything's great. Praise God. I'm all good. Yeah. Thank God. All is great. And you know that's not the case. But if they... And I love that some people say, oh, they're just being, you know, faithful and whatever. And I get that. However, sometimes it's good to call a spade a spade. But your attitude and perspective towards that challenge that you're going through, that's really the nuts and bolts of where your joy is going to come from, rather than just trying to, you know, it's good to be positive and speak positive and obviously not speak negative, because that's going to feed our system as well. But it's good to be, you know, call a spade a spade. You know, I had a really bad day today, but you know what? Tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah.
Or I'm going through this thing right now. If this will pass, that simple little statement, you know, kind of, you hear a lot of people say, this will pass. Even just holding on to that, you know, by the grace of God, I'll get through this thing. It's holding on to that, and it's finding those things that we can meditate on, because it's easy to go, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? There's talk of recession, you know, if you hear something like that, and then all of a sudden you fall into fear mode. But you guys, well, you know what? We survived one already. Please God, I'll get through this one. And it's just,
that's a really good one. Yeah, like we've already figured out how to do this before is a really powerful thing for your resilience, isn't it?
It is. And when I say focus on the little wins, that's what I'm referring to. Go back to when you may have gone through something similar, or at the time was the worst thing ever. Because if you know yourself, Ronan, we all think back. I went through something, say, when I was, I'm just making this up now, but say for example, I went through something when I was 25, yeah, and it was the worst possible thing I could have imagined. Now, you know, fast forward, I'm 35, and you go, actually, it wasn't that bad now that I look back on it. But at the time, it was the worst thing ever.
Terrible, yeah.
And maybe you're going through something now that's the worst thing ever. Well, listen, in 10 years' time, you'll probably be looking back and thinking the same.
Yeah, exactly. The notion that you've actually managed to sort this out in the past is a very powerful message to your brain.
Absolutely, because you're saying to yourself, listen, we survived before, we'll survive again. Yeah. And as we look forward into the new year, kind of think, well, look, it, you know what? I'm going to start believing. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I say, this is going to be the best year yet, regardless of the outcome. Because what you're doing is you're tuning your brain into picking out the positives, even when you might be surrounded with negatives, and it's tuning into them. But here's what I will say, and I always stress this to people, be realistic. Face the facts of the negative things, but zone in on, all right, but where is my solution?
Yeah.
We sometimes kind of pause at the negative, but hang on, there's the negative. Okay, now let's move on. What would be a solution? Or another idea is, if I was given myself advice, if my friend was going through what I'm going through, what would I tell them? And that's how you approach it.
Very good. So there's a kind of an acknowledgement. This is a bit of a struggle. This is a challenge. Not pretending to myself that it isn't.
Yep.
However, and it's the however that's really the important piece.
And that is it. And, you know, I think what you're saying is a really good point. You know, don't let that sentence be, this is terrible. And don't let that be the end of the sentence. Continue on. However, or this will pass, or whatever. I mean, I know it sounds simple, and it's really hard when you're going through something tough that's shaking you to your core. But if we start to get into the habit, and I know this through myself because it's something I've definitely learned over time, the more you do it, it's amazing the way you have a perspective shift. You know, before, for some people, you know, it might have been important to have the latest you know, whatever, this gadget or gizmo or whatever else, or whatever, when you get perspective, when you think about, look, I'm in this situation, but there's people in a hospice right now who may not wake up tomorrow, and I'm not in that position, thank God, and God bless them, but here I am. So, you know, it could always be worse, and I know it could be better, but just always remember that, you know, you've got air in your lungs, and as long as you're vertical, you're halfway there to doing okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. Very, very good. And we can really look ahead and make 2020 our best year yet, do you think?
This is it. And when I talked about attitude at the beginning, that's what it is. If you choose that attitude of, you know what, I'm going to make this the best year yet. You know, we can't control what comes our way, but we can control how we react to it. And that's the key. You know, you could have a really bad year, but if you react in a way where you're kind of, should we say, keeping your head above water, that's how you make your best year yet. Because you, when we learn to survive these challenges in life, you know, we get stronger for us and the years get better for us. Even though we may go through worse stuff when we get older, when we get, we work on our attitude, we build on our perspective, it's amazing. You know, when we have faith, a simple thing of faith that this will pass, I'll get through this, it can have such a gear shift in us that our year, even though it might be a worse one, will feel better than last year because you've had a better attitude towards it.
Absolutely. Oh, it was great talking to you, Mark. Life coach Mark Fennell, thank you so much for talking to us.
Absolutely. And I was going to say real quick as well, I share a lot of these videos on the Instagram. So if people are ever looking for a pick me up, Mark's Happy Place, check it out.
Mark's Happy Place on Insta. Brilliant. Great
Thanks,
stuff.
Ronan.
God bless you, Mark. Bye-bye. Technological and social change means the nature of leadership is also changing. That applies to businesses, to nations, to families, and also to communities. And our next guest has a particular interest in leadership in the Christian Church and in interpreting how biblical principles apply to today's world and its challenges. In the studio now to tell us more, we have Henry Akwara, President of Hagnos Empowerment Initiatives. You are very welcome to the show, Henry. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Great, lovely to have you here.
First of all,
tell us, Henry, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, thanks. So thanks for really having me here. It was really an awesome time to be here once again at Swiri Radio. So my name is Henry Okwara. I'm actually the president of Hagnos Empowerment Initiatives. And principally, I'm an environmentalist by profession. Of course, I'm also a business entrepreneur. I have my own business running here in Ireland as well, basically into environmental services. I actually started ministry at the age of 14 years. That was when I met the Lord. The Lord visited me in a dream and had this encounter. And then I was felt under the power of the Holy Spirit for almost like 8 years, started speaking in tongues. And after that, I started an evangelistic ministry. I'm so passionate, speaking Christ to people, preaching across the street in Nigeria in those days. And towards my early years in the university, I actually entered into a full-time ministry. And after then, I stepped back a little bit and concentrated on my business, because I actually started my own business by the early 20s years.
Wow.
You know, after that, I moved to Ireland in 2011, then got married in 2013, and I had to continue where I stopped, you know, in terms of environmental services, because something I have loved so much to do, and I have been involved in that area of services. Then I also got involved into ministry here as well in Ireland, trying to speak to the drug addicts, you know, encourage them, and try to see how I can bring solutions into some of the areas they have been finding challenges, you know. So
powerful, Henry. Yeah. Tell us about Hagnos Empowerment Initiatives and the work it does.
Oh, good. Hagnos actually was an initiative that I got in one of the days I was just processing the things going on within the church sector.
And I should start by saying that Hagnos is actually the Greek word for purity, which
I didn't know. You can actually go that it was derived from the book of James, chapter 3, verse 17, when the scripture was talking about the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. And that is the Greek word Hagnos. It means purity, it means pure. Mm. So that is actually what it means. So the whole idea of Hagnos is just to bring a solution and a support into the church system, especially in Ireland, and also to encourage the leaders in different church sectors and different organizations in Ireland to work together to see what Christ defined as leadership in the 21st century. As we get on, I'm going to like talk more about what you know, what's the definition and the reformation of what leadership means in this current days we are.
Yeah, it's a confusing world out there for leaders, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It is indeed.
Yeah, because everything in the world it's changing at a rapid pace, and things are moving, and you know, there's a lot of technological development, and you know, even people who have a natural, I suppose, a leadership gift or a leadership leaning, it can be intimidating.
Yeah, it can
and,
be.
And I particularly feel like here in Ireland we have this kind of thing where people are, I think they tend to prefer to, we have this phrase we use called the hurler on the ditch, the person who actually stands on the byside, but you know, at the side and kind of comments rather than takes initiative and takes leadership. Is that something that you encounter in your work?
Yes, I think so. It's one of the things I have actually encountered, because you see, I want to draw our attention again what Christ, you know, said in Matthew chapter 16 in terms of leadership. Is a very critical statement, because leadership has to do with context. If you don't understand the context of your leadership, you're going to misinterpret it. So first of all, it has to be with what do you really understand by context, you know, in terms of leadership. So Christ made a comment when he was talking to his disciples in Matthew 16. He said, who do people think I am? All right. Who do people think I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. Now I tell you who you are. Amplified, the translation of Mercy says, now I tell you who you are. Okay. So the starting point of leadership is actually know who you are.
Very good.
Who you are. And that is more of an internal quality.
Yeah. And interestingly, I can see, you know, even before you say it, that who we are is defined not by ourselves or by anyone
that's
else,
right.
It's by God.
That's it.
So when God tells you who you
that's
are,
right.
that's we need to pay great attention to that, don't we?
Yeah, very, very correct.
Absolutely.
Very correct.
So how do you think we can go about raising up and renewing leaders in the church?
Well, yes, that's a very, very interesting question. And I think I still also want to draw back again to that same scripture.
Sure, let's do it. Absolutely, please do.
Matthew chapter 16 is quite an interesting scripture because it's a popular scripture that we have been quoting every time. I think almost every believer of Christ literally knows the scripture, Matthew chapter 16 from 13 to 18, why we got the concept about church. And you see, that has actually given us this norm of what church is all about and what leaders in the church represent. So for us to talk about the issue of raising and renewing leaders, we have to go back to that same scripture to really see what it's really the context of that passages of the scripture all about. And when Jesus was saying, having this conversation with his disciples, they really understand the environment where they are, because he said he came to the Caesarea Philippi. And of course, you know, that was actually like the Roman embassy of the Roman Empire at that time. So there is an ecclesia that has been established to manage that embassy. So Christ describing that was literally talking about a system that has been designed by this people, and he was used as a prototype to define how his own church should look like. So if we are going to talk about issue of raising leaders and renewing leaders, we have to get back to the context of the origin of what the terminology church represents, which actually I don't really want to go too much about the terminology about the church, because there's so much description about the word church, but I'm going to use the word ecclesia, which Christ was trying to describe, and that was a replica or a synonym of what the Roman embassy or the Roman Empire in that time represent. So you see, he said, upon this rock, talking about the embassy, the cave, the ecclesia that represents that time when he was describing, when we started talking to his disciples, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail it.
Amen. Some people, I said earlier on, some people are, you know, they're obviously born leaders, you know, but leaders do come in many shapes and sizes, don't they?
Yeah. I think so as well. A leader comes in phases. Like I said again, you see, the subject of leadership is very complex thing, you know, and we need to understand, we have to look at the role model, who is Christ, okay? If we say Christ is the ultimate leader we have on earth, we need to know what did Christ actually describe the qualities that make leaders. Now, we can really say that some people are born leaders, some people are made leaders, but rather we can say by looking at Christ, who is our ultimate Savior, by looking at the qualities of Christ, we can learn the principles to be an effective leader. Because you can just say you're a leader, but if you are not efficient or you are not effective and you haven't really gotten to know the qualities that makes you a better leader, it can make you not, it can make you to be dysfunctional and you might not really, really represent what you are called to do.
And do you think that's to do with how we allow the Lord develop our character? You know,
that's right.
So
that's
it's like
right.
He plants this, maybe this potential gift.
That's
in
awesome.
Us, but if we kind of have to then respond by saying, please develop my character, because
that's
otherwise
it.
I will be dysfunctional in my
life. That's it. That's it. That's very correct, because character is very key. You know, it's, in fact, when we talk about leadership, we can't separate from character, and that is the starting point. So when we use the word, people are born leaders, all right? Some people are made leaders. So we need to see, are these guys being described leaders because of their leadership skills, in quotes, or are they being described leader because of their expertise in terms of managing people? Now, because some of these things have actually failed our generation, have failed the world. Mm. Now, the world is looking at the character.
Yeah.
What defines me inside? Because my character is supposed to supersede my giftings. In fact, my character is supposed to be the principal fulcrum of what makes me a better leader. So the attention right now in terms of raising or renewing leaders has to be centered on the inside. So we have to look at our inside, our inward, and start correcting certain norms that have distorted us, that have made our nation to be not to be moving forward, or have made the church not to be moving forward. So we have to look at the qualities and the characters of the leaders. And this goes across to not just the church, the society, the you know, different sectors of the world, the economy, the people handling the economy, managing the government policies and stuff like that. Character is the key. If the character does not change me, if myself cannot say this is who I am, this is my inside, then it's very difficult to be able to raise leaders and renew the leaders in this end time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, tell us about your upcoming conference, because this is the main thing we want to get to, you know. So, tell me, we don't have dates yet, but tell us about the actual.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, good, that's good. The conference is actually what we usually do once every year, an annual conference. And, you know, we did one last year, and the next one is coming up around August. We haven't actually, come up with the topic yet, or the theme yet, the venue yet, or the date yet, but we know it's going to be in August, and very soon it's going to be on air as well.
Brilliant. Yeah. So will you make sure that you let us know about it so we can give it a bit of a plug here on the station?
Oh, definitely I will. That would be really awesome to do that. I appreciate it.
So to conclude, Henry, the world, it needs leaders today.
Yeah.
It needs leaders of good character today, doesn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So hopefully we pray that the Lord will raise them up, and then those people will in turn respond and say yes.
Definitely. And we are believing that is going to happen, because there is a lot of emphasis going on. Even looking at the technological changes going on in the world can tell you that stuff. The leaders we are going to see in the next 10 years definitely is going to be different and unique than what we have seen in the past years. So it's going to be a lot of changes. So far that we are responding to the demanding changes of time, because every season brings a unique kind of leaders. And we're believing God is bringing this into our own time, and he's going to make it real. And the church is supposed to be the role model to the outside world there in terms of leadership renewal. That's what we expect and believe in.
Henry Okwara, President of Hagnos Empowerment Initiatives, thank you so much.
Thank
for speaking
you so much
to
for having me.
And you can check out hagnos.ie is the website.
That's
and
right.
You can find them there. God bless you now.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.